Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Yeah, it's just a completely different. There's no more hope.
Why do you even care?
Doesn't it sometimes just come down to cut that out. Did I just drop an F-bomb right there?
Lou Maloney knows there's nothing wrong with an F-bomb. I dropped one yesterday in the first 5 minutes of the show. Learned a lesson. A little red button. Jeez, the guy leaves the radio booth for like a month, and he doesn't know you got to push the red button to
get
on the air.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Nesson analyst Lou Maloney, who I don't think is angry Lou anymore. I'm not sure he's happy Lou. I think he's a little more stable Lou. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's kind of like I didn't go on this last road trip.
Yeah.
So I sat home and just sort of watched the whole thing unfold, 3-3.
We needed you.
Wondering how the hell did they not win five?
Yeah.
Right? Like five.
Yeah.
Maybe six of those games.
What do you mean? So when you're up 6-0 in the sixth, you should win?
Yeah, you know, and when I'm doing it every day, it's almost like I've taken the mentality of playing again.
Yeah.
Like, the game is over. I'm pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, how did that happen? Ride home, and then you get home, and you're like, okay, there's another one tomorrow. Wake up, and who's pitching, and go back to work. And that's what they do. And I think I was tweeting about the other day, like, the emotional roller coaster of a fan. You can't do that as a player. You know, everyone's just losing their mind over one game. It's one game, and the next day it's like, no, it's a tough loss, brutal loss. Jump on a flight, get back here to Fenway, and try to take 2 out of 3. And it's like, well, that's a loser mentality. It's like, well, that's the only mentality you can have in baseball. I don't know what else to tell you.
You can't control the past. Sorry, you've got the now and the immediate future. And I'm kind of curious, going from being in here on a regular basis, watching the games on TV, calling a few on the radio versus now, being the big TV star and seeing him from a different perspective.
See that hair slicked back?
I know.
Good.
Did he not walk in?
Damn.
And he's like, Mike Giardi, eat your heart out.
Yeah.
Second handsomest man in all of Boston sports.
No grays?
That's not
going after. Oh, I got it right here.
Well, you got the grays on the beard, but that's distinguished.
Yeah.
So, Lou, what are you noticing? Like, you must, now that you're like watching it from that perspective every day and having to provide a different level of analysis than you did in here, chopping it up with you, me, Fourier, et cetera. What are you noticing about the team now? Like, what's
different than the Jobs kind of thing?
Yeah.
I think I know more now.
Yeah.
Cut that, Stiz.
No, I'm just saying, like, I know more now. I'm just like, I'm around there all the time. So like, I'm talking to the players, I'm talking to the coaches, I'm talking to managers. There's a lot of weird decisions. Or sometimes even me, I'm sitting there going, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing that? And then you get the answer and you're like, okay, when you're doing this every day, there's still communication, but you're not in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you get some of the answers of why things are done. So it forms, you know, so now you have an opinion and you got your hot take and you're running with it. And then you sort of find out what the answer is and you're like, oh, okay. Well, whatever. It was a good take anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like I hear a lot, you know, and I just like, well, it's like, I know the answer to this.
You're privy to more information,
but it's not, you know what I mean? So it's just, that's a big difference. That's in sports radio. We know, like I did it for many years, 15 years where it's, there would have been some opinions on steroids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're never good. You're never okay. You either suck or you're really good. You're going to win it all. So
right.
It's sort of, I get it. But for me, it's just different now. You know, I'm there every day, and I kind of, like I said, have more info, I guess.
So you have all the answers?
No, I don't have that.
So there's...
just got more answers.
There's
more
an answer I need.
Yeah.
So we have... remember that old theory with Rex Ryan? He used to be like, if you run the ball 30 times, you win the game.
Yes.
And everybody was like, well, why don't you just run it 30 straight plays, and you'll win the game? This is a little similar to me, but when the Red Sox strike out 10-plus times, they're 5-13.
Yeah.
When they strike out fewer than 10 times, they're 12-3.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they stop striking out so much?
Yes.
How do they go about doing that?
Well, I tell you, when they went on that little run where they weren't, because I remember I was talking to Pete Fatsy, the hitting coach, and he was like, hey, yeah,
brag. He knows more now.
More information, right?
Hey, Fatsy.
Obviously, no one's trying to strike out more. Nobody wants to strike out. And he was the problem they were having was pre-2-strike decisions. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like how are we're striking out a lot. How are we even getting to 2 strikes? Why are we even at 2 strikes so often?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, a lot of it is maybe lack of aggressiveness, taking the first strike, expanding the zone, making bad swing decisions early in counts, and constantly being 0-2, 1-2. And when you're that in this league, you usually get buried. Could they make more contact? Yes. Would I like to see them make more contact with 2? Yes. There is approach issues, right? Like, are we using the whole field? All that sort of stuff. But when they're good at it, like Trevor Story, for example, when he's swinging well,
yep,
he is getting a pitch to hit and he's putting in play. Right, and he's not expanding, you know, swinging a miss on a fastball up or swinging a miss on a slider down away early in counts.
Mm-hmm.
When he's going well, he gets a fastball down, he hits a line drive in the middle, the at-bat's over. There's no opportunity to strike out. When you're going bad, and I don't know, it's like 3-for-33 now or 3-for-36, you foul off the pitch you're putting in play. Now it's 0-1. You know, now you swing at the slider. So it's like, how are we getting there? That's been their biggest problem with striking out.
Okay. Well, I mean, I get that. And, you know, you could fill the oceans with what I don't know about this drive line approach or like
yeah.
the whole philosophy behind the offense. But I was opining earlier that I feel like the season to me is about being a good baseball team and trying to chase a playoff spot. Of course, that's goal number one. But they're sort of caught in between. The future starts now, but wait, hold on. We can't start the entirety of the future. We have some of the future starting now.
I agree.
And we're holding some of it at bay, you know, a couple dozen miles down I-90. But now I feel like this team's inconsistencies make me think they need a spark coming down the stretch here in May into Memorial Day. I want the future to start sooner. I want one of these kids called up.
Mm-hmm.
Are you for that, against it, or in wait and see?
I think Marcel's got a little injury again, right? The back, he missed yesterday, got scratched, so we got to wait and see. That's been a concern. He's been fantastic in the minors. He just can't
outstanding
stay there. Healthy, right?
International League Player of the Week last week.
And he was one of the better players in AA last year before he got hurt and mm-hmm. missed the last, whatever it was, 60 games. So Roman Anthony, I think, is the one, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone's talking about what are you going to do? To me, it's like, that's why all eyes have been on Seydon. You know, and right. I remember the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season, couple weeks, I was like, well, I don't know, another 2 or 3 weeks? Like, how long do you go, right? Like, what? And, you know, unfortunately for the Roman Anthony people, the last 3 weeks, he's kind of like 280, hitting bombs, stealing bags, and the defense is fantastic. So it's like, I don't know if they just force a move with that. They could make it today. I have no idea, but I do think it's coming. I do, you know, and they always say these things can work themselves out. There hasn't been an injury to open it up, but I know this. When he comes up, he's coming up for good. That has been expressed many times to me and to others. So if let's just say someone goes down and misses 3 games and they call up somebody, I don't think it's him because of that reason. When they call him up, it wants to be for good.
I mean, he's patient at the plate, Andy.
Yeah, he's everything. You
know, 22 walks in a month.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to see him, but it's like where and how? Where and how? And what door are you closing? Are you closing the door? If you just bench Rafaela and say Roman Anthony's playing center, well, you sign this guy to a long-term extension. Like, what's your future of Rafael? Like, how do you use it? That's why I keep – I know you listen every day.
Yeah,
every day.
P1.
So I keep dreaming of some scenario because he seems like Rafael I'm talking about.
Yep.
Good defensive player, some offense, athleticism, cost-controlled. He seems like a tradable chip, especially if you kind of sell high when he's playing well. He feels like the guy that could be in a deal – Mason Miller is the name I like to throw out there because I dream of getting Mason Miller. Send Rafaela, send Abreu, send a prospect to the A's to get me Mason Miller because then Chapman is your setup guy. Now your setup guys named Whitlock and Slayton are even pushed down. Even like You become, and Roman Anthony now takes over in center field. Is that not the perfect scenario for the Boston Red Sox?
Well, I mean, listen, getting Mason Miller to me is, yeah, like a perfect scenario. Yeah,
two just, guys that throw 103.
Yeah, I think it's going to take a lot to get him because of how much time he has left.
Yeah.
Like control. First off, I think Roman Anthony will be in left. I think Duran's in center.
Okay.
I'll take that.
Yeah. To me, I look at Roman Anthony and it's like, we need it. I get it. And someone's like, you know, he's wasting time down there. He's 20. Let's just say worst case scenario.
You know who else was 20?
Who?
They started their career.
Who's that?
Jordan.
Yeah.
Proceed, sorry.
No, I'm just saying like worst case scenario, the kid never comes up, yep. Which I don't even see happening. The offseason, you clear a space. He's your starting outfielder next year. Like it's not god awful for a 20-year-old to spend a season in AAA, even though I don't think it's going to happen. But until they need him, I don't see it happening.
But is there a difference between those two? Because there was a little hint. Marcelo Meyer talked to Jones and Keefe.
Yeah.
Opening day, Worcester, and made some comments like, I belong in the big leagues.
Yeah.
He said he earned it this
year. Yeah.
Yes. And he's right. In a weird way.
If you can earn it in spring.
But Campbell didn't earn it. And no. Now he's the best player on the team and like rookie of the year and is just awesome.
Yeah.
But if you just went on the spring, Meyer was better than Campbell.
And yeah, he was.
I feel like that was a bag job. They knew they were giving the contract to Campbell. They wanted him to be the second baseman. Like, that was sort of a bag job, you know, operation.
The only thing I would say is that spring training is interesting. Like, it matters. It matters to some. It matters. Doesn't matter to all, right? But
if you're good, it matters. If you're bad, it doesn't.
Well, here's the thing. Like,
it's my approach.
We don't ignore, like, the entire year before or the entire 2 years of who the player is because he had two good weeks in camp.
Mm-hmm.
Or three good weeks in camp. You know, like, the player is still the player. If jobs were really won in spring training, Trace Thompson would be your starting center fielder. You know what I mean? And what's he hitting down in AAA?
Right.
I'm just saying, Nate Eaton may be the fourth outfielder. What's he hitting? So it's like, jobs aren't won in camp. Like, and I heard what he said. Like, I earned it with the way I played in camp. I'm like, no, you didn't. You got hurt last year at the end of the year and never played AAA. You got to go to AAA. You got to play that level. You got to hit better against lefties. You got to show that you can control your swing against right breaking balls. Like off speed and lefties, he wasn't very good last year. This year, he is better. He's checked the box. But I don't think that was answered in camp.
Was that a sign, though, of – so with both of these guys, you're like, if they stay the whole year, like you said, Roman Anthony. If he stays the whole year, then you clear a spot in the offseason. He's your starting up.
Certainly don't bury him. He's
but do they
have
get
a
antsy?
Great career.
Like, do they – because that sounded like yeah. Marcelo Meyer getting a little antsy. Like, I want to be in the big leagues sooner rather than later. He seems like a guy that if he didn't get to the big leagues this year, he's not really going to like it.
He's going to be disappointed.
Yeah, but I also felt like it was a young kid thinking that if he just played well in camp, he makes the big league team.
Yeah, but isn't that how it usually works?
No.
Because high prospect, that's the other thing. Not everybody is the fourth pick in the draft who could have been the first pick in the draft, right?
Yeah, but like I said,
you get the,
it's not how.
Like Will Campbell's going to be the left tackle. He does not have to win the left tackle job.
True.
He is going to be written in Sharpie from day one.
Yeah,
like
because
top picks usually kind of get promoted.
Yeah, in football. Right away. Like, top picks in baseball don't even get to the big leagues. You know what I mean? So it's
forever.
Yeah. Like, I don't think, like, a guy can come in like that from AA and win a job on the Boston Red Sox unless Trevor Story got hurt.
Right.
You know, and, you know, we'll see where his season goes. You know, he's a guy that's been hurt a lot, too. But Marcelo's job is to be ready for that injury to Trevor Story if it happens. And Roman Anthony's job is to be ready in case an injury comes to the outfielder or they make a move because he continues to tear it up. They're doing what they need to do. They're putting pressure on the organization. That's it. But I don't think anyone's screwing them.
The mayor of Framingham, Nesson baseball analyst, and, of course, WEEI favorite, Lou Merlone in here in his former spot, WEEI afternoons.
You like
his
booth?
It's actually nice.
It's very nice.
Look at it. They painted the walls.
Oh, right? And the second 2 hours when people start lining up and flipping us the bird and doing all those.
You know, Keith and I, we were doing a show here last fall. We got flashed.
They did a lot.
With what?
Yeah,
it was
you nice. Did?
Yeah.
With what? Uppers or lowers?
Uppers.
Oh, okay.
Just say full Monty. What do we got? Back side.
So now you've had it. So in getting to see more, hear more, know more. What's your take on the very kind of disappointing start to the season for Casas? And do you think there's a corner to turn?
Pussyfooting through that. He's not been good.
He's stunk. Okay.
Yeah. No. He's
he's kind of stunk.
It's a lot like 2023. Right, like, and I do think that they talked about some things mechanically, got into some bad habits. I think he is one of those guys too that kind of falls into, hey, I'm going to go to my guy in the off season, and we're going to work on some different things.
Yep,
and I'm going to bring it into the season. Trust me, this is going to work. Trust me, all through camp, it's going to. And it's sort of like, okay, when do we step in and say, you're hitting a buck? You know what I mean? Like we've trusted you for a while, so now let's start doing what we want you to do. So I don't know. I think there was some of that with 2023 and a little bit of it this year as well. So I think he's looked better, I guess, recently. So hopefully he can kind of continue because they need him. They need that guy in the middle of the order. I mean, with the potential he has, they need him to start swinging.
Can't have three dingers and hit a buck 85 first. I'm sorry. Like, it's kind of drag. It's one of the elements that is dragging the offense, an offense that we have seen that when it breaks out or gets hot, it's dynamic.
The guy who's supposed to hit 40 and 120.
Yeah.
Yeah, or at least give me 30, like, out of bed. Like, he's – and Devers was the other one. You know, it was like, you're not going to have a great offense if Devers hitting second and Costas hitting fourth, like, aren't doing anything and striking out every time.
Right.
So Devers has been better. Because for some reason they keep throwing him a lot off speed. I still want to see him hit velocity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Costas has looked a little bit better, too. I'm just waiting for him to take off.
How are we feeling about the pitching staff? Because it's like, obviously, your
hit
guy.
Hit or miss.
The pig. Yeah, the pig has been good.
Yeah, he's been
good.
I don't even know if I put him in the pig category.
Oh.
But he's
been de-pigged?
No, he's been very good. Like, pig is a special category.
And he hasn't been it
he's
in
been
all
very
his
good. And I think he'll even admit it. He's very good. Pig is, you know, swing and miss up the keista.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and he's been very good. Yeah. Very good. But
six and a half the other night.
I'm waiting
six.
For it. It's
he didn't
coming.
Get seven.
I'm
I can tell you that much.
Yeah, it's
lost
coming.
My over.
Inconsistent.
Walker Buehler.
Yeah.
So we were starting to feel good about him, and now you got this shoulder thing. You know more, so anything I should be concerned
with? I don't, actually. It wasn't on the trip, but it just didn't bounce back from what I was told to. But
yeah.
Hopefully, you know, we'll see what happens. Hopefully it's not that long. That's always been the problem with him. You know, like, I think he said 30-plus starts maybe twice in his career.
Yeah.
And you're like, just keep throwing the ball, keep him healthy. With a lot of these guys, just keep him healthy. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. He's going to look great one day, hopefully really good for three or four. He's going to have a stinker, whatever. But now the injury is a concern.
Because at their best, they're really good. Like, if Bayo's at his best, if Giolito's at his best, they're really good. If just Walker Buehler's on IL,
that's
but, all but at no, I think at their best, they're a really good rotation.
Can be, yes.
And then if three of them are on the DL and we're watching Sean Newcomb and Hunter
Dobbins.
And Dickie Fitz.
Right, like, then you're not a great rotation.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Fitz did a great job before you get hurt. That's another one we'll see. I think Dobbins is going tomorrow. I know the offense loves it when he's on the mound because they score like 12, 14 runs.
Yes, he's just one of those guys.
I don't know.
They just respond for
was
him.
Was it 18 and 13 or something for him?
Yeah,
so
beautiful. Parents were happy too.
Mm. It's inconsistent. Like, you look at the last road trip, the starting pitching was very, very good, except for the first inning where Tanner Houck gave up a 3-0 lead right away.
Right.
And then he came back and was really good the other day. The bullpen was lights out for like five games, gave up one earned run, and then your two best, Whitlock and Slayton, kind of give it up. So it's like, in back-to-back, it's going to happen. Both those guys were on a streak. They were lights out. So it's just everyone's contributing. You know, your Gold Glover misplays a ball in the right field. You know, your Gold Glover at third has made some errors earlier in the year. Your best hitter struck out for the first 2 weeks of the season. Like, Duran wasn't hot early on. So it's like, there's always like someone you're counting on, like, makes just this drastic mistake that you're like, where'd that come from? Well, it's baseball. It happens. But it's just happening too much.
I learned this from you TV guys. You get time to stick around for another short segment?
Yeah.
I'm putting you on the spot here on the air.
Yeah.
I can be an a-hole and say, no, I got
to
leave.
Yeah, no problem.
I still haven't had a chance to ask you about St. Bregman yet.
All right, St. Bregman. More Lou Maloney up next here on WEEI Afternoon. He's going to stick around for another segment. Appreciate it, and I want you to stick around too.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
What are you noticing about the team now?
I think I know more now.
Man that knows everything.
Lou Maloney.
More.
He knows more.
More.
Yeah, he didn't say everything. He knows more.
I know more.
Which means more than you, more than me.
That's easy.
More than Cora?
Like, think about it. You know, you guys talk football like every Monday. Like, if you did the game, don't you think that you would kind of have some insight? Maybe, I don't know. Like,
maybe a little bit.
We do have insight. I don't care for the implication of that comment.
We hear some things. We don't hear as many things by being around the team as often.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
it's different.
Yeah.
That's some Joe Milton stuff I want to talk about with you later.
Ooh, yeah, we'll get to that.
But we got Lou Maloney here, formerly of WEEI Afternoons, Middays, does it all, broadcast, and now he's a TV superstar with dark hair and a gray chin and a Good tan.
Looking TV ready, baby.
Rested?
And you know what?
It was out of Tampa last
doesn't
week.
Have to work. Doesn't have to work all 162 just enough, so he makes sure he gets some time down in Marsh Vegas.
There you go.
Hanging with the kiddo. Are
you still
well.
Coaching?
Yes. Not that? Right now. It's high school season, but in the summer, a little bit here and there when boy, I can make it.
Plus, boy. You got your elbow. I listen to the commercials. Your elbow feels good, so you're throwing BP.
Threw BP last night. He won some extra hacks. So
all right, so before I get into the Bregman one, here's the question I thought of during the break. We'll see what you think about this. What do you think happens first? Anthony gets called up, or the Sox trade for another veteran to help all these young kids along?
I think Anthony gets called up first.
Yeah.
Because what you're talking about to me is still like end of July.
Yeah, because it's Bregman.
I don't think it goes that far.
It's really, they're really, like, it's Bregman is the veteran in the room. I know Devers is as well, but he's not a vocal leader. He doesn't pipe up. He's not a, he doesn't guide.
We were talking about it like a little bit in the break, and it's like, it does, I get it. And it's, you know, it's come off as like, ah, you're homer, and they're giving him excuses. The reality is like last year they had so many young kids that got a lot of experience, and they showed that they're very talented, inconsistent, but talented. The reality is they're still young and inexperienced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, got a rookie behind a dish. You know, Casas is still young, you know.
And looks inexperienced.
Yeah, Campbell is at second. Like, Abreu is year two. Rafael is year two. Duran's year three. And there's inconsistencies there with him. So it's still like, it's still this young. You're relying on Slayton year two. Weissert is out there. Zach Kelly, now he's down. So it's like you're looking for, you know, somebody else like that, like an impact veteran.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you still have enough talent. Don't get me wrong. You have enough talent that you should not be 17 and 16.
Yeah.
You absolutely should be a playoff team, you know, but with it early on in the year, it just comes some bumps and inconsistencies, and that's what you're seeing now.
So there, I remember you said something like hope is now expectation.
Yeah.
Early part of the season. Like, you used to have hopes. Now you expect to be good.
Yes.
And there's some guys, I listened to Breslow, the front office report on the Greg Hill show yesterday, and he was talking about, when you get to the third of the way through the season, that's where you start to say, these guys are who they are. This is how we now we start thinking about changes we need to make. For me, the first person that jumps out, the first position that jumps out for me is first base, is Tristan Casas. He's not hitting. He's not great defensively. He's been bad more often than good the last 3 years, basically. Like, he lives in people's minds off the end of one season. I keep comparing it to Phil Plantier. I fell in love with Phil Plantier. I thought he was the next great power hitter.
Yeah.
He wasn't. And I don't think Tristan Casas, you know, like, is he the next Bobby Dalbec? Is he just a guy that isn't really good enough? And what do they do at first base? People yelled at me when I brought up the idea. A birdie told me that Devers still takes ground balls. And I was like, well, then Alex Cora, is that so he can play some first base? And he said no.
Yeah, he
should I believe him?
Straight up no, huh?
He said straight up no. Yeah. Did I believe him?
Did he put, like, not at this time?
No, he said, in case of an emergency, that's why he's taking ground balls. Well, but at what
point? As of right now.
I don't believe he said as of right now, because to me, you're going down emergency road where you don't have a first baseman.
Yeah, see, I would say this. So, first off, you're right. You evaluate the first third, then you search what the holes are, and then you go with the last third.
Yeah.
Right? Like, after you acquire something. So, we're still in that evaluation. And if you're evaluating center, you know, looking for some offensive. You know, from Rafael adjustments.
Yep.
I think you're evaluating first base. You're evaluating catcher. You're just evaluating right now. And again, it's like Casas is sort of like go back to that rookie year. Like, he was better in May. He wasn't great in May. He was better in May, though. And you're like, okay, we're going to stick with it. It's quality at bats. And then blew up in June.
Mm-hmm.
June, July, and August blew up for 3 months. So I still think you're in that evaluation phase. Is Rafi the backup first baseman? Personally, I like to think so. Yeah, he should be. Like, I want him taking ground balls there. And I don't know, if they don't want him to right now, if they want to get him accustomed to DH and then eventually maybe start taking some. My thing is start working at it.
Mm-hmm.
So if something happens at the end of May or June, he's been working at it for a month.
But doesn't it take two to tango? He's got to be willing to do it.
Yeah, and I don't know that.
Did he say no?
I don't know that, because I would think that he would want to be back on the field a little bit. His boy Vlad's over there at first. He went from third to first.
Yep.
I think he'd want to be on the field a little bit once in a while, whatever. I don't know. The thing is, I think we talked about it in the air one time. Obi had asked me about it, and I just said, you've pretty much got positions all over the field like covered in case something happens. Yeah. Anything happens to an infielder, Marcelo's there. Anything happens to an outfielder, Anthony's there. You're a little bit weak in catching right now. There's no question about it, but Wong's going to be back soon. If something would have seriously happened at first, say, or third, it's baseball. Anything could happen. You can get hit by a pitch. You can get drilled. You can tweak this, tweak that. You know, you got Romy Gonzalez, who I think plays a role. You know, like he's a good player. Matchup guys against lefties, maybe some righties. But is he an everyday guy? To me, Rafi's the everyday guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get the sort of like the guy that's been MIA a little bit, Yoshida.
Yep. Oh, my God. The talk about the forgotten son of Fenway. My God. I mean, the Red Sox have
$20 million to do.
It's
what?
Funny. Everybody forgets about him. We're like,
he's the new. He's like he's Japanese Ruzne Castillo at this point.
That is what he is,
honestly. And
except he's in Florida, not Pawtucket, right?
But he's really good too. Like he's good. He's not maybe what everybody wants, but the dude's been hitting .285 for 2 years in the big leagues, like 12-15 homers. Like, plus he's got the best form running in the league. Like
his running is outstanding.
He's a good player. Like yeah. He's a good hitter.
They got all these guys like that, you know. David Hamilton, he's a good sub. Gonzalez and Ref Snyder, like that's great. I mean, that's great. They get a bunch of really good guys that are good subs, but I need more at the pro level. So I'll sort of get you out on this. What's the most impressive thing to date about Alex Bregman?
Honestly, it's kind of everything.
How much time you got?
Yeah.
No, like I was expecting big things from him, but he has exceeded, you know, like expectations. First off, I think this is like a really good start for him. Last year, he didn't have a good start at all.
Yeah.
Although early in the year, it was funny because everyone's like, he's off to a great start. He's hitting like .295. And I'm like, he went 9-for-10 with 3 homers and 10 RBIs in 2 games. And other than that, he was hitting .210 with a homer and 6. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like for the first 3 weeks, it was really 2 ball games. Since then, like everything is barreled. Everything is driven. Like he doesn't swing. Yeah, you know, and that's one thing I like about him. Like swing less. He swings like 40% of the time. You know, guys like Story's 57, Rafael is 62. Like, he doesn't swing. You have to throw him a strike or he doesn't swing. And when you do throw him a strike, he barrels it. And defensively, I know he's got 5 errors. I don't put all of those on him. His range to his left is already saving hits everywhere. And I just think his presence, like, it's, I didn't think he was this good. I'll say that. Wow. I did not think he was this good of a player, like to be around it every day.
That's Lou Maloney. He is a TV superstar now. He's the best color man in baseball, in my opinion. Brings joy to the broadcast as long as the team does their job and makes it fun.
Yeah, we'll have some fun.
Hopefully, scoring runs, pitching, doing those types of things.
Hey, yo.
Appreciate you joining us up next here on WEEI Afternoons. We're going to talk a little bit about the Boston Celtics. We know who they're playing now. We know who their owner is going to be. But do we really know what their future holds? We'll delve into that next here on WEEI Afternoons.